This week in the Famicom Dojo podcast, NES Remix 2, which is a sequel full of sequels, has us thinking about sequels. Vink touches the game designer's hair in Future Retro, and Pile of Shame is digital only. You know, kind of like this show. Meta, right? Hey, Vink.
Hey.
So, have you gotten NES Remix 2 yet?
I haven't. I know it's out right now. I'm guessing you have?
Yeah, I got it the day it came out, or at least the day that I heard it came out. Someone told me it came out a week before, actually, but I was like, eh, whatever. And so, I bought it, despite, infamously, perhaps, making a huge ranty video about it. The first one, that is.
Yeah. But I don't know. I liked the first one enough that when it was announced, if it would have been like, remember when the first one announced, they said it's available for download now.
Right, because it was during a Nintendo Direct. Yeah.
And I'm just like click 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 click, give me thing.
Right.
But the second one they're like, and it will be available, and I was waiting for it. Wait for the now in April. Oh, okay. So, and I just kind of forgot about it. But if it would have been available that day, I would have just picked it up.
Yeah. So it's May when this podcast comes out, but
yeah,
I've been playing it for a little bit and possibly have played it more. I've actually gone back and been playing the first one as a result, and coincidentally was playing the first one before I realized the second one was even out yet. But so I was all primed to get it. But you know, it got me thinking about sequels.
Mm. Oh, sequels.
Yeah.
Can you call that a sequel, though? Because, I mean, it's more of like a continuation. Well,
right.
I guess it's a sequel. You know, in Japan, they're released together on physical media.
People are hoping for that in the States, too, from what I understand.
Me, too. I would. I'll double dip. I'll double dip to own it.
Oh, my.
I know I own it, but I want to own it. Give me my physical media. Because I can't take my DLC down with me into my like bunker, prepping for the inevitable collapse of civilization. But I don't know, like, right? I just don't like the idea of something I own until my hardware breaks down or something. But I mean, I guess if my hardware breaks down, the disc isn't going to do me much good either. But I feel like I can always buy more hardware, you know?
Right, right.
I don't know. I don't even play the games I have now. To tell you the truth, it would probably, if in the future my hardware broke down and I lost all kinds of content, it would just mean that I had less of a backlog. But NES Remix 2, it actually has a full game on it, doesn't it?
Yeah, so the first thing I noticed was Super Luigi Brothers was on there. And I heard that you got that if you had something on your Wii already and you had Super Mario 3D World, and I forgot.
It's not Super Luigi Brothers, it's Luigi Brothers.
Oh, Luigi Brothers. Yeah.
And it's basically just the old Mario arcade game, like the first like pre-Super with Luigi put into it.
So
yeah.
What does it detect, though, that it lets you get that option? I don't remember.
The game is found in Super Mario 3D World, and it needs a save file having been made from Super Luigi U.
That's right. We talked about this in the podcast.
Yep,
I still haven't put that into my own Wii U, so I won't have seen it. But yeah, this one has Super Luigi Brothers, and it's just Super Mario Brothers with from right to left, so everything's reversed, and Luigi controls from lost levels, essentially.
So his jump physics.
I did try to see if the Minus World existed, and just like the very brief remix levels that existed in NES Remix 1, the blocks will break if you try and jump into them. So, oh well.
So Minus World didn't work on NES Remix?
Nope.
Nintendo, I guess that makes sense. Okay. But yeah, interesting. So, but overall, you like it?
Yeah, I like it overall, but you're right. It's really less of a sequel than, say, you know, a continuation. But it did get me thinking about sequels and like especially how like rapidly this came out, and about games like Lost Levels in general that were essentially just remixed versions of the original game, where they had all the same tile sets, the same music, and maybe a few new mechanics, but that was what passed for a sequel. Whereas a lot of the sequels I played on the NES were vastly different than the originals.
For example?
Well, the US Super Mario Brothers 2.
Yeah.
I guess that wasn't vastly different, but it was different enough.
It was vastly different. It's still different a platform, from anything. Right? Yeah, it's still... Well, it's not a pie. I mean, but, you know, I mean, it, you know, it had upward scrolling, backtracking available. You know, it's very, very different.
Right.
I think Super Mario 2 is more different. Like Super Mario 1 to Super Mario 3 is probably a more gradual change than Super Mario 1 to Super Mario 2.
That's true. And of course, those in the know, especially those who've listened to us for a long time, know that's because it wasn't originally a Mario game.
No, it's not. But interestingly enough, I mean, and this is what I've read. If people can verify this, but that, you know, Miyamoto was very involved in Super Mario Brothers 2, the U.S. version, through with a partnership with Pony Canyon to make Doki Doki Panic, actually more so than he was involved in the making of Super Mario Brothers 2 that actually did get released, because his time was heavily invested at that time on making Zelda.
Okay.
So he gave it only it shows a cursory glance, but I don't know if that's totally true, but you know, it does seem that Super Mario Brothers Lost Levels was more of an expansion pack than it was a new game.
For sure. But I did last year at GeekCon get to go through it, the All-Stars version on Super NES.
Okay.
With a bunch of people where we rotated. Every time you beat a level or died, you would pass the controller along. And it's still a really enjoyable game. It's just, not the kind of sequel I was used to playing on the NES.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the problem a lot of people have with the new Super Mario Brothers series right now. It's not that they're bad games. I think the level design is very good, especially for the Wii versions of them. New Super Mario Brothers, Wii, New Super Mario Brothers, Wii U. Very, very good level design. Excellent, in fact. Some of the best. But it's just that it's got the same like art style and that same kind of ridiculous music from the DS version. The wah wah wah. You know, type music,
right?
And I think that's really off-putting to a lot of people, in that they look so different. I would say definitely that whereas they're still really, really fun, you have that whole like Super Mario Brothers 2 to Super Mario Brothers 2 Lost Levels kind of thing going on, where despite them having completely different level design and very clever level design and new enemies and new elements, it's just not different enough.
Sure.
All right. So what's a good one?
I think there are a lot of good ones, and I know that I'm weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But a lot of games in a series that I played for the first time were sequels. I think the best one I can think of is Mega Man 2.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Mega Man 2 was where it really kind of, picked up in its popularity. I mean, it got produced far more than the original Mega Man in Japan as well. The most expensive Mega Man game is Mega Man 1.
Oh, okay. That is not true here.
Because it did, what is the most expensive one here?
It's 4 or 5. I think it might be 4, actually.
Really? 4? It's not that uncommon here.
Well, maybe I'll get the Japanese version. I wonder why that would be. I'm not sure, because I got 6, and it wasn't that much. And either I had a chance to get 5 and didn't, but then... I think last time I went to a game shop, I saw 5 for like $80 or $90, and I was like, No, I'm good.
One would think 6 would be really expensive because it was so near the tail end of the NES.
Yeah,
you know?
it is up there, and I think I might have paid like 30 or 40 bucks for it, but that's not terrible.
No, that isn't. But like a lot of the other like really, really late releases, like Bubble Bobble 2 and DuckTales 2 and stuff like that, which I've never even played due to their rarity until I played the Japanese versions, which are far less rare. Those are all super expensive.
Right, or like I was at NoBrandCon this last weekend, which I'm sure I'll talk about more throughout the show, but someone there had a copy of DuckTales 2, which is like $130 now.
I paid $20 for my Japanese copy. It, you know what? It's good.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah, I don't remember if these were mechanics that were in the original game, but there was like a lot of like hooks you can hang on to and jump in. You could like pull on levers and stuff, and that was in a, you know, early on in one of the levels. And I was just like, I don't remember this in the first game.
Well, so few people have played it because I mean the hype was there. The Super Nintendo was out, and you know people just, you know, it was hard to go back to paying almost the same amount of money for a game for the 8-bit platform. And I remember seeing it at the store, DuckTales 2, and I never even thought of buying it. I was moving on, waiting for, you know, but now, yeah, I really regret it.
Well, that's definitely one of the games that it's very similar to the first one, though.
And I didn't even know there was a Bubble Bobble 2 until like 2 years ago.
Oh, sure, right, yeah. I didn't know about DuckTales 2 until about maybe a little longer ago than that.
Did you know Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers too?
Ugh. Are any of these better than the originals, though?
Well,
we haven't really played them, have
you know,
we?
I have not played the second one at all, but I loved Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers.
Yeah.
Maybe the best multiplayer game, I mean, like two-player co-op game on the NES. I don't know. Turtles was pretty darn good too, but I mean, you know, it's definitely up there. It's one of the best.
Well, I really like Mega Man 2 a lot as a Mega Man game, and I'm hoping this isn't just because it was my first, but
you always remember your first.
Right, like it took me forever to beat that one, and like Mega Man 3 came out and it was way like I liked that one a lot as well, but I was able to beat it, so it kind of had a little more esteem with me for a while, but 2 still holds a special place in my heart. And it wasn't until long after that I played like maybe even Mega Man 6 that I went back and found a copy of the first game, and I don't like it.
It is hard. The Gutsman stage is ridiculous. It's ridiculous, that stupid jumping puzzle. It, like, Mega Man is the... I played it from the first. The first Mega Man was my first Mega Man.
Okay.
And I liked it. And I could beat every stage except that stupid Gutsman stage. And since I could never beat it, I never went to the Wily stage. I never went... My brother, though... He could beat it, and so we actually saw, you know, farther into the game, but it frustrated me so much. And then Mega Man 2, I always felt I should beat the first one first. Mega Man 3 was a revelation to me because I could beat it.
Right, right.
And so, because I could beat it, it will be regarded as my favorite and in the Mega Man series, and the only one I've ever beat.
The only one? I think I beat in 4. I was disappointed with that, but I beat 4.
Yeah.
Sure. But like I play 1 and everything is wrong. Like the power-ups look wrong. There are only what, 6 bosses, I think.
Let's see. Cutsman and I don't even remember. No, no, this should be 8. No?
I think it's just 6.
Maybe.
But like, yeah, like they don't look right. Like everything about it just screams to me like it was more like a prototype than, because there's a lot of like just the way that Mega Man 2 was set up that sort of carried through to the rest of the series.
Well, it's definitely true. Yeah, yeah, and the power ups and stuff, how they look. Yeah, yeah. They from Mega Man 2, they pretty much set the style for, well, everything. Yeah.
So I'm trying to think of another game that does that. That either really improved on the formula and the genre, or at least some kind of, you know, benchmark, even if it was wildly different.
That's easy.
Oh, is it?
Street Fighter. This first Street Fighter was like roast butt. I mean,
right? Really, yes, I have Fighting Street, I believe, for my Saturn.
PC Engine.
PC Engine.
The PC Engine would be Fighting Street. Yeah.
Oh, I'm thinking of Street Fighter the game, the movie.
Shouldn't even think of that. Yeah, right. That's for Saturn.
Yeah, yeah, I have Fighting the Street on my PC Engine CD-ROM 2 or
yep.
whatever
yep.
Fun little numbers come after that. But yeah, like you can only play as Ken or Ryu, and that's it.
Yep. Yep.
And everything is wrong.
Yeah, it definitely sets up the idea, but it was Street Fighter 2 that like made the fighting game genre. I mean, there were fighters before that. I mean, you look back. The game Karate Kid for the NES had a one-on-one fighter, or
right.
What is it, Karate Champ?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were lots, but like it never really, you know, clicked until Street Fighter II.
Like Street Fighter II is like the most sequeliest of the sequels because they did not leave 2 forever.
Oh no, they're like. Okay, let's see. Street Fighter 2, then Street Fighter 2 Champion Edition, then Street Fighter 2 Turbo. Now, not all of these came out on every platform, right. But these are like the arcade versions.
There was like Super Street Fighter 2.
And then there's Super Street Fighter and Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo. And each of those had a couple minor revisions within there, too, where the boards are changed just slightly.
Right. But there are also cartridge releases for these, too. For a lot of them, and
it's So Champion Edition came out on the Mega Drive and on the PC Engine.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very strange because the PC Engine was one of the last Hue cards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the last, you know, what do they call them in America? Turbo chips. But it looks so much better than Fighting Street, which was on a CD.
Yeah. Yeah. That's insane to me. I mean, and not just looking better, but like, you know, being more playable. And it was a big arcade hit, you know, unlike the first game, which was it even in arcades? I have no idea.
It was. The Aladdin's Castle near me had it. And the thing is, I only discovered it after seeing Street Fighter II, and I just looked at it and I went, ugh. How did that even get a sequel? You know? Okay. And I had that game, the first Street Fighter. I had a port for my PC. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
CGA graphics. It was the most unplayable garbage.
I'm sure, because you only have like 16 colors, right?
Four.
Oh. Ugh. Even worse.
I think it had an EGA mode, but I didn't. Even if it didn't just look it was just terrible. I also had Mega Man for the PC, which was clearly not made by anybody who'd ever played Mega Man. That was also abysmal.
Yikes.
Anyway, but we're talking about sequels that went better. So, Street Fighter II, definitely. It was a game changer. It was a game changer.
Literally, right? Like, I can't believe I didn't think about that. Because I have others in mind, but that wasn't even on my list. What is wrong?
Okay. Well, what do you have in mind?
It's Soul Calibur 2, if we're going to talk about fighting games. Now, not to be fair, this one is really the third installment in this series because it was Soul Blade/Soul Edge, and then Soul Calibur came out. But that's the only one that's been sequelized since then. And it's been the definitive version for anyone who's a fan of the series.
I think the progression from Soul Blade Soul Edge to Soul Calibur was a greater was of greater significance than Soul Calibur to Soul Calibur 2.
I don't disagree with you, but I just think that Soul Calibur 2 was the best of those three games. Like there were definitely a lot of improvements because I know like Soul Blade was a lot like the early Virtua Fighter. No, it was kind of sluggish and it looked blocky and weird.
I compared to like Battle Arena to Shinden, actually. But yeah, like that, yeah.
So like it's like Soul Calibur like looked better, but it still was kind of weird and sluggish. And then like Soul Calibur 2 was high octane.
Soul Calibur, Dreamcast, it was like butter. I mean,
no, the Dreamcast version was better than the arcade version, though.
That is true. That is true. It was, which is very weird.
Yeah,
that a home port was significantly better than the arcade. But yes, okay, I'll grant you from the arcade. From the arcade, yeah.
Because like, you know, there's an HD remake of Soul Calibur 2 out there now that you can get.
Yep.
Yeah, but you know, like people really like 5 because it's a lot like 2, essentially. So the Namco's like, well, I guess instead of giving you Soul Calibur 6, we're just going to make 2 again.
I don't know. It's just with the whole thing about Soul Calibur, though, is Soul Calibur was like Soul Edge. Huh, that's an interesting game. Soul Calibur, like maybe one of the defining games of the Dreamcast. You know, an absolute, you know. Amazing, maybe the best launch title for a system ever. And then you have Soul Calibur 2, which blew up the popularity because it was released on everything with exclusive characters, and Link was in it, and you know, it was a huge title. And then it's like, wow, that sold really good. It was wonderful as a multi-platform game. Let's see which one sold the best. Okay, the GameCube one sold the best. Let's see which one. All right, let's make Soul Calibur 3 exclusive to PlayStation 2.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Namco? Really? Namco? And let's not make it very good.
It wasn't bad. I mean, like Soul Calibur terrible. 4 was better, and like all the new good ideas got moved to that game. But yeah, I didn't get enough time with 3. Because of that reason.
They put 3 on the weakest of the hardware, so it did not look much better than Soul Calibur 2. In fact, it might have looked slightly worse than like the Xbox or GameCube version of Soul Calibur 2. So
I
don't know.
It's also worth noting that there's no Link in the HD remake of Soul Calibur 2 for reasons you can probably guess.
Oh, Nintendo.
All right,
it's not really Nintendo's fault.
No, it's not. Well, it is kind of their fault. They could have said yes.
They could have said yes. Like, oh, so what platforms is the HD remake on?
I know it's on Xbox 360. I imagine.
And there we go.
Okay.
Yeah, Nintendo could have said yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, I bet you Nintendo would have said yes if they would have made ported that sucker to the Wii U, which would have been totally possible. You know.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't want to talk about that.
Yeah, I know. That's sad. That's a whole other corridor of sad. Anyway, right.
I got one more game I think was better.
Okay,
and a few honorable mentions. So I'm just gonna run through the honorable mentions real quick, but then I'm gonna get because my last one's controversial.
Okay,
I think it's controversial. I think Fable 2 is a lot better than the first game.
Okay, never played either. So
I've been playing through the original one. Not only was Fable 2 on the 360, but and the original one was on the original Xbox. The first Xbox One, as it were.
That's so confusing.
Okay. I think the first one suffered from all the hype, you know, and like the second one, I expected nothing from it, and so I really loved it. So there's that. Mass Effect 2 was arguably a better game than the first one. People liked the removal of the Mako, but then it's not as RPG-y. Samba 2000, which we talked about a little bit before the show.
Yeah, but I mean, like I said earlier, Samba 2000 is more of an expansion than it is a new game. I mean, it just adds some songs, but most everything is the same assets used again.
True, very true. Yeah, like a lot of the songs are the same.
But the thing is, because of that, if you own Samba 2000, there's pretty much no reason to own the first one.
Right. Yeah, like it's definitely an example of what you're saying for the other games. Like the first game was more like a prototype idea of what the game could be, and then 2000 perfected it.
Well, exactly. But at least with Rockman, like, you know, there's some enemies and some stages that you can't get in Rockman 2. But for Samba de Amigo, if you own the sequel, you basically have it. It's the same with Senran Karuga, whatever that girly, clothes rippery fighter. They released Burst, which included the whole first game
on the
disc, which makes you know, a copy of the first game really superfluous.
I suppose, yeah.
Redundant, superfluous. What am I using, Kevin? If you're going to use big words, know what they mean. Okay. right. Redundant. Okay.
My last honorable mention is Skater Die 2, which is a really obscure one, but like it added an adventure mode. There was like a double half pipe that if you didn't clear the middle of it, your skater would crumble into pieces on either side. It was just,
I don't think I ever played Skater Die 2.
Oh no.
My brain, there is no Skater Die 2. This is new for me because I loved the first one.
Yeah, the adventure mode, like you run around on your skateboard and like avoiding obstacles. Like it's like a left to right almost platformer, and you're like collecting notes or something. I don't remember what you're collecting, but it's interesting.
I played the Game Boy one, Tour de Trash.
Oh dear.
Wow, what a dumb name.
All right, are you ready?
All right. What is your sequel better than the original?
I think that this one's vastly superior to the original, mostly because I didn't play a lot of it, but also because I find it to be too hard. I think that Simon's Quest is much better than Castlevania.
I'm going to intake air through my teeth. But I'm going to agree with you. Wow.
Awesome.
I can hear people unsubscribing.
click, 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 click.
Yeah.
That's me unsubscribing right now. I'm angry at us.
Because so many people are so down on Simon's Quest for being the disappointing sequel. But for me, I liked the fact that it had more story bits, that you had upgradable character. I don't know. It seems so much more epic to me than the first game.
Well, really, they're not even the same game, I guess, because the Castlevania is more like an action platformer that's like arcade geared, like you know, die now and insert another quarter to continue kind of thing. Whereas Simon's Quest, you know, has like save states and it's more of an RPG and there's NPCs and.
Well, I mean, the first game, I mean, was a disk system game, so it did have saving.
Oh, right. Right.
But true. But I know what you mean. It's more, I consider, I mean, they called it an adventure game back at the time, but I definitely consider it more of an action game. Whereas the Simon's Quest, I consider to be more of a true adventure game.
Yeah. Because like, even upgrading your weapons, for instance, like it's kind of like a luck of the draw kind of thing. Like Metal Slug, right? Like something drops and you pick it up and then you have this awesome new thing. And then like the moment you die, you lose it. Whereas Simon's Quest, you know, you like save up money to buy something, you know, and you hunt for the secret store to get the best weapon. And then you get the sweet Morning Star with the extension. And then you're like, yeah. And you don't lose that weapon for the rest of the game.
I do feel it. In fact, I know why it gets the hate. I mean, what was it? That was the game that made the angry video game nerd famous in the first place.
Really?
I think that was his first video.
Ah, God. Okay.
I might be wrong, but it was definitely the one that put him on the map.
I'm glad I never saw it because I would have hated him instantly.
But I mean, no, he made a lot of valid points in it. I mean, there's a lot of weird stuff in the whole night mechanic thing was difficult to wrap your head around. But
I kind of liked it though because it's you know, like the music changed, the enemies got harder, and
it creeped me out as a kid.
Yeah, it was supposed to. I thought
which is something very few 8-bit games were able to do. They had a similar mechanic in the game Monster Party. Have you ever played that?
No.
You should. It's an interesting game. It's a very interesting game. It's got a really interesting localization history, too. You should read up on it. Okay, well how about this question? Maybe we can redeem ourselves a little bit in the eyes of some people. What'd you feel about the third Castlevania game?
Well, it was more return to type, right?
Yeah, definitely.
I didn't really play a lot of it.
But it was definitely more expand. Like it was less arcadey than what you. Wait. Go back. You didn't play it?
Not a lot of it. No.
Please don't unsubscribe, listeners. We actually know something about video games. No. Okay. You know, I can't be all high and mighty here because I didn't play it much when it was out. But because I've been so into like custom sound chips and stuff, I got the Japanese version of it, which is amazing. It's amazing.
Which I also have. I can get the NES version also, but like the last game store where I saw it in person, it was like $25, and I'm like, I think I can get it for less than that. Maybe I can't though.
The Japanese one's pretty pricey these days.
But I have
it goes for about $40. But it's amazing. It's like the sound coming out. It's one of the best, some of the best sound I've ever heard coming from an 8-bit system in general. I mean, it's really, really good. And I don't know.
Even Simon's Quest, because it's a disc system game.
Oh yeah, because it has
better
FM.
Sound.
FM. Yeah. I mean, it's debatable because some people prefer chiptunes.
It's different. Not maybe necessarily.
Yeah, it's different.
But it feels like Castlevania 3 was an admission that Simon's Quest was a mistake, and so therefore I didn't like it.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, what about later Castlevanias? Are you more of the action type or more of the Metroidvania type?
I'm more of the Metroidvania type because the next game that I really got into was the first one for the Game Boy Advance.
Oh, okay. So did you play Symphony of the Night?
No, because I didn't own anything that it was on for a long time.
Ah, yeah, you were a Nintendo exclusive guy, weren't you?
Yeah.
You do Wii Virtual Console right now. Have you played Rondo of Blood yet?
Oh, did I buy it? I might have bought it.
The thing is, you might not like it actually, because it's much more like the first and third game.
Okay.
Or did you play Super Castlevania on the Super Nintendo?
I definitely did get that on the Virtual Console, and I liked like the 8-way, what's it, who's it's, and the larger sprites and stuff. The 8-way swinging with the.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it kind of depends on what type of game you like. But you know what, I've definitely of all the Castlevanias I've ever played, I've definitely put the most time into Castlevania 2, Simon's Quest. I liked it when I was a kid. I liked it a lot. I don't know if that's an object. You know, it's very, very subjective. But I mean, I rented that one more than the other games.
All right, so I couldn't get you on Simon's Quest. Maybe there's another sequel.
Okay.
Potentially more questionable quality.
Okay.
But I still love, maybe not more than the original, but I think it has value. How do you feel about Zelda 2?
Boss with the horse's head. Zelda 2. I liked it. But the original Zelda was something amazing.
Yeah.
At the time. You know?
I agree with you. There's definitely a reason like why Link to the Past was essentially more of a sequel to the first game than the second one was.
But Zelda 2, I don't know. I liked the RPG-ish elements. I very much did. And I think I disliked it mainly because it was just really, really hard.
Yeah, and I've had a lot of time to think about this, and I will defend it to the ends of the earth as introducing some elements into the franchise, like, you know, magic, NPCs and towns and stuff like that. Because I think Kakariko is one of the towns, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't think it's the first one, but I think it's in there somewhere.
If it's not the first, second, or third, I've never been there because that game was hard. Okay.
But I think the big change that made it feel like a smaller game somehow was the fact it was just a side scroller. Like, you know, the main action was side scroller. So you had two, you can go left to right, and that was it. And usually it was just left to right, and there wasn't even really any going back
most part.
And whereas, you know, the original game, you can go in four directions. You had this expansive world map, and there was enemies in every screen, and you didn't have to worry about random encounters. Yeah.
The first Zelda felt like an open world game. The second one felt like an action game with a map.
Yeah.
But I know it was more than that. I know it was. And I liked the addition of magic.
Yes.
Which I guess there, you know, there were some very good things, but I don't know. It was just, yeah, it was a really hard game, and I did like the music quite a bit.
Oh, for sure. I was super excited when there was a Zelda 2 stage in Smash Brothers Melee, I think it was.
Yeah. Oh, did you hear what they're doing for E3 this year?
No.
They're having a Smash Brothers Invitational tournament.
Oh, God. Want to go to there.
And if you can't get to E3, you will also be able to play Smash Brothers during the time of E3 at Best Buy.
Oh, of course. They did that last year, didn't they, with some other games?
Yeah, but I guess you can... I don't know. But, yeah, but I can't do either of those things in Japan, so...
Well, I will do at least one of them.
Please do. Please do.
I promise you. Okay. Well, we'll see if we can get to E3.
Get to E3, man. It's time for Famicom Dojo to be recognized by American press as well. I mean... We do all of our stuff in English, but the Japanese press have recognized us as a legitimate source of info.
Right?
Maybe that's because they can't read anything we write.
We could probably talk about Zelda 2 for an entire episode, but I think it's probably time to move on to in the future retro.
Okay, let's do that. Do you want to go first?
Sure. So I brought it in with NES Remix 2, and I'll have to be my pick this week.
Okay.
And it's mostly because games like Zelda 2 are on there. So it's really no coincidence I was thinking a lot about this just because there are a lot of sequels just in that game. There's Lost Levels in there. There's Super Mario Brothers 2 in there. We mentioned both of those. Zelda 2. I forget what else.
That's all right.
But by and large, that game has more of the NES games I really liked, like the original Metroid. For instance, because the first game was like a lot of the black label cards.
Yeah.
And then maybe a few of the bigger adventures like Mario Brothers, but Super Mario Brothers, I should say.
Yeah.
But this like had Punch Out in it, and it's just a lot of fun to play. And even though I own these games, I found the challenges to be interesting.
Well, that's good.
And I kind of knew what I was going into this time. So I think that this series is going to be a really good way to keep retro alive.
I hope they make one that moves into the Super Famicom.
Oh, right.
I think you could have a lot of fun with that. Although I think there's probably room for one more of the NES remixes, though.
Are there enough like Nintendo only titles that would work?
There are. You're going to run into some of slightly lower quality as we go on, but yeah, there's enough.
I think the addition of Kirby was nice too, which technically is also a sequel. Technically,
yes, it is. Kirby's Dream Land on the Game Boy. Yeah,
there was a level in there that I played. I don't think it was even a remix level. I think it was a regular level, but it looked like Game Boy quality graphics, so I'm not really sure if that was part of the original.
In black and white?
Maybe it was a remix level, but it turned into black and white at some point, but like most of the time it was in color, so I don't know what was going on there.
I'm replaying through Kirby's Adventure right now, so I'll let you know.
Okay.
I'll let you know.
It's where King Dedede would throw eggs at you, and you're supposed to like swallow them up, and then there'd be bombs. Yeah, this is definitely a remix level. And it had like not swallowed the bombs, but like, yeah, it seemed like a lower resolution pixels and there was a frame around it, kind of like a super, like a super Game Boy type thing. So I don't know what was going on there.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway. Oh, good choice.
Yeah.
Good choice.
So what was yours?
Well, when coming up for this, with this, I knew we were talking about sequels today, so I was trying to think of a good sequel, but I was trying to think of the sequel that I was most hyped up for ever, and it's without. Okay, I was at Tokyo Game Show. I don't know if you were with me that year.
I was
not.
Only there in 2007 and 2011.
Okay, this might have been like 2009. I don't know. But I was at Tokyo Game Show, and this was the announcement of No More Heroes 2.
Okay.
Were you there?
I don't remember if I was there or not. I was there when the first one came out. So it might have been 2008.
Okay, so this is one of the years you weren't there. I was sitting next to Patch from his site,
Egret.com.
At Egret, yeah, that's, and there's an amazing video of me like touching the hair of the mechanical director.
All right, this is definitely anyway, 2008. We should link that in the show notes.
Yeah, but anyway, there is a video that exists somewhere that I didn't take, but I've seen. Whatever, of when that game was announced, and there's this nerdy scrawny white kid standing up, jumping up, who's just screaming his head off. That's me. it's not a high point of my life. Well, it was the high point of my life, but I mean, it's looking back on that is not a high point. But because I went to that event, and Suda came out and he announced the sequel, which I wasn't expecting him to be out because I didn't think he was announcing anything at that event. You know, it was just the Marvelous press conference. I was thinking we were going to get another, I don't know, what is it? Rune something, Harvest Moon, whatever.
Right.
You know, and he came out and they had this amazing trailer for it. And I don't think I've ever, because no one thought it was getting a sequel, because you know it didn't. It was on the Wii and it didn't sell all that great. There was that classic clip of Suda standing alone in Tokyo trying to hand out these rolls of toilet paper that were labeled with the game, and nobody came out to buy the game.
Oh.
Like this like tragic images that were on the internet. So no one even thought it was going to get a sequel, but. The thing is, I liked the second No More Heroes quite a bit, but I don't think I liked it as much as the first one. It was total fan service, the second game.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't it like improve on some of the complaints from the first one?
It improved on all. I mean, it got rid of the sluggish overworld. It added more of the retro stuff that people really, really liked. It had more boss fights and bigger, more crazy stuff. It was definitely... good in that way. I'm trying to think of what to compare it to. Do you watch Community?
Oh, of course.
Community is fantastic, but like the later seasons are so meta and so appealing to the fans that it sometimes they get a little bogged down in it. You know what I mean?
I have no idea what you mean.
You know, it's so much aware of what it is.
Yeah.
That it sometimes it loses some of what it is.
Sure.
And much like how I love Community, I loved No More Heroes 2, but at the same time, I thought as a game, the first one stood out better.
Fair enough.
But so my future retro is No More Heroes, and I'll go along with No More Heroes 2, because if you play the first one, you should play the second one. Well, if you liked the first one, you should play the second one.
Yes. Full disclosure, I have not finished the first one or played the second one at all.
Where's that unsubscribe button?
This was during that time the Xbox 360 came out. This is all during that time.
No, it isn't. No. No More Heroes 1 and 2? The Xbox 360 was already out.
No, that 2007 was when the Xbox 360 got good, and that's when I got like 4 games for it and never looked back.
The Xbox 360 still isn't good.
Ah,
there. That's my revenge for you not liking No More Heroes.
So speaking of shame, my pile of shame for this week is NES Remix 1.
What?
Yeah, I mean, I never finished it. I really was angry at it. So that video I did came from a place of actual frustration. But like in making that video, I had never really looked at Wrecking Crew before.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we were doing a video about it around the same time, which we're still working on, by the way, boys and girls. But I had never really played it. So there's like a lot of funny jokes that we do during the video about Wrecking Crew, but I don't actually know how it functions as a game. Not until I played through these levels in NES Remix. And
but you own Wrecking Crew.
Yeah, I own like 3 copies of it now. not including the virtual console ones I got for the episode.
Triple shame.
Right? So but I played on NES Remix and I like understanding the mechanics and I'm like, this is a really neat game idea, and I never played it as a kid. So it got me to want to play it, and I own it, so I can totally do that. I haven't yet, but you know, that got me to actually sneak a little bit of NES Remix here and there. But things have been crazy the last few months. I never really picked it up again. And then, like I said, I decided I wanted to start playing it some more because I, you know, things are less crazy now, yeah. and I just can. And that's, you know, now that two is out, I'm probably not going to go back to one for a little while. But yeah, so I might stay on my pile of shame. I'm going to try actively to finish it now because I have like 350 stars now or something. So I'm getting there.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That is very interesting.
What about you? What's on your pile of shame this week?
Oh man, everything. But I'm gonna have to go with Ace Attorney 5.
Oh, another sequel.
And my brother has been trying to get me to play this one a while. I love the Ace Attorney series. I love it. I've been a huge proponent of it the whole way through. I mean, it's the game I tell other people to play all the time. Love the series. But I haven't played this one, despite really wanting to play it. You know why, right?
Is this the one that you can download?
Yeah, then I don't have a problem with it being the one you can download. I have a problem with being that's the only way you can play it.
Oh, I don't think I knew that.
It didn't get a physical release.
Oh, maybe I did know that.
And I hate that part of me, but that's a deal breaker. I know, like, living in Japan. I can't buy it because I have a Japanese DS.
Right.
And and that game is very kanji intensive, so I can't play the Japanese right. version by itself. So I would need to buy an American DS to play it. But I will say that even if I had an American DS, it's still a deal breaker.
Really?
I don't have a problem paying $10, maybe even $20. For a download only title, but a full priced game, I just can't do it.
Huh. Is it just you'd really rather have a physical copy, or
I would part of it. I'd rather have a physical copy, even though I know that physical copies in my house will get destroyed by my physical daughters, but as opposed to my digital daughters,
don't want to talk about that.
But I don't know. There's just that whole sense of not really owning something. I don't know. I know I got to get over myself on that one.
Well, especially on a Nintendo platform, because like if your actual daughters destroy your actual 3DS, you might have a hard time.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing. If it was through the iTunes store, hey, yeah, there's the revelation here. If Ace Attorney 5 was available on the iTunes store for the same price as on the 3DS, I would buy it on the iPhone before I would buy it on the 3DS.
Yikes! Okay.
Because I trust that in the future I'll be able to re-download that.
Right.
Console games have already begun disappearing, you know? You're going to notice that a lot, the Xbox to the Xbox 360 to Xbox One, you know?
Oh, I'm already expecting it.
Exactly.
I mean, we started this podcast with that foreknowledge.
Well, exactly. So maybe a price drop will do it. I don't know. I know that shouldn't be the determining factor. But the thing is, if they would announce a physical release of that game, I would buy it instantly.
Mm.
Even if it was more expensive. I think the digital download is $40. If they released it as a cartridge for $50, I would buy it.
Even on 3DS?
If they released it on 3DS.
Wow.
If they released it as a cartridge for $60, I would buy it.
Oh my god.
I know there's something really wrong with me there. But I think that's one of the same reasons I haven't picked up NES Remix 2, because I'm holding out hope that it might get a, you know, I was gonna buy DuckTales. I was going to buy DuckTales digitally. I was prepared to buy it.
Mm.
And then they had a physical release, and I'm like, oh yeah, it cost $5 more, but that seemed worth it to me.
So yeah, so full disclosure, I feel very similarly. Like the stuff I buy digitally is usually pretty cheap, so I don't think a lot about it. But like I almost got DuckTales as a physical copy, but I was able to get it was on sale when yep. when I did buy it, so I got the digital version.
You got it for like $7 or
yeah,
something
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. For $7 I'd go digital.
You hear that, Capcom?
Make Phoenix Wright $7 and make it work on my Japanese 3DS and you got a sale. So you get right on that if you want my $7.
Hashtag unreadable locking.
Yep, indeed.
All right, so before we go, I just wanted to mention that I was at No Brand Con over this last weekend and give a few shout outs. So I got to play Battle Kid 2, which, if anyone remembers, I played the first one last year, and it actually took about 3 hours, so I compressed all that footage into a video last year. Played it this year, beat the first boss. Well, you'll see. I'll put that video out. We also found a copy of Kid Icarus that appeared to have a converter cartridge inside of it.
No spoilers.
Yeah, no spoilers there either. So I'm going to put both those should both be up, or at least one of those should be up by the time this podcast comes out.
Great.
So I'm put those in the show notes as well.
I'm looking forward to watching those.
All right. And cool. Yep. So then I want to say hi to Thor. Longtime actual friend outside of the show, but he says that our format's really good. He likes our
good
content.
Good.
So some positive feedback there.
He doesn't like the podcast, but he likes the format. Well, if we're giving shout outs to Thor, one of the original auxiliary members of Leet Band, actually.
Yes, right. Bass player.
Yes, yes. Whose tones can be heard on none of the ones you can hear online. So,
none of the ones that are that can be heard in this podcast either, because I believe that they are not family friendly.
Yeah,
Surprise Fun, I think, is one of my favorite tracks of his.
Dark time for Leet Band. Okay, anyway,
right. So, if you have any positive feedback for the show, you can leave it to us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or something.
Good old fashioned email.
Yes, email us at podcast@famicondojo.tv, or go to famicondojo.tv/podcast to leave a comment, read our show notes, all those wonderful videos we're talking about, of course, or to our free iTunes storefronts, where you can leave a comment and rate the show, which really, really helps every little bit. And of course, Stitcher Radio, we are available for free on there as well.
Yay.
So, yeah, cool. I think you gave me an idea for next week's episode already, so.
Awesome. Laughing maniacally. I guess we could make that work.
Oh,
okay.
Who else did I forget? Let's see. Shouts to Raihan, Gojira, Crystal, Josh, Mike, Steve. Ooh, who else am I missing? Teresa, the Versing Works girls. Elliot with two L's and two T's, David with two D's and one V or so, I think. Yep. I'm sure I missed people.
Matt Turner.
Oh yeah. From Midwest Gaming Classic.
Yep. And, shout outs to the basketball and Cookie Monster.
Okay. Grief. Oh yeah.
I didn't go to any cons. Okay.
Yeah. And before I forget, please, if you have any stories you want to share about this Famicom life, growing up gamer, please send that in to us, either via email, or if you want to record something with your voice, you can call us at 608-492-1923, or just use, you know, leave feedback there too.
Or just record it as an MP3 and send it as an attachment in an email. Actually, that would be the best possible way.
Yes, as long as it's not too big. So nice and compressed email.
Make it really long. Okay.
All right. Well, until next time then, I guess the dojo is...
The dojo is $7 on sale this week.
If only.
If only.
Our DVD is almost that cheap. Hint,
buy
hint.
Our DVD. Oh, sorry. I mean, subtle hint. All right. stomach.
Babacom Dojo.